I still preach on there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Just cause so many places has went formal and contemporary ain't changed what Jesus said. You must be born again. And I'm glad one day the Spirit of God came and arrested me, showed me I was a sinner. I'm glad the wonderful hand of the Savior reached to where I was. I didn't find Him. He wasn't lost. But He found me, and I thank God for it. In your Bible this morning, the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Book of Daniel, chapter number 6. If you'd pray for us extra hard this morning, I'd be grateful. Daniel, chapter number 6. The Bible said that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. I'm glad there's a kingdom this morning. Not only is there a kingdom, I'm glad there's a king. And there's one king, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And I like this verse, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In verse 16, I like verse 10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went to his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day, prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And these men assembled found Daniel praying and making supplication for his God. In verse 16, then the king commanded that they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Verse 20, when he came to the den, he stayed all night. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, has shut the lions' mouths. They've not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. We've heard a lot about this Bible character, Daniel. I want to preach on this simple topic this morning on dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Brother Mike spoke about Noah this morning. You know something, you can live right in a godless world. Oh my goodness, how we need to be a walking right, living right, and talking right in these last days. But here Daniel, I want to say, note his exalted position. His exalted position. Notice in verses 1 through 3, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account to him and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now I want to look, first of all, this dare to be a Daniel. Note his exalted position. We see in Daniel chapter number 1 and verse 8, he was placed. I want to tell you that God's providence is amazing. There are no accidents that you're in Bowden, Georgia this morning. You just didn't stumble into Liberty Baptist Church. By divine providence, God has placed you in an area. And isn't it amazing how a lot of us thought where we would wind up in life, but God had different plans. I had no idea I would be in Bowden, Georgia, raised in a little town in Tennessee. No idea would I realize that the providential hand of God would bring me to a little hick, unknown town in Bowden, Georgia. Thank God that He knows how to place His young'uns in the right place and at the right time. And so we see this exalted position. God was going to do something with him, but He had to place him first. Can I tell you, before God's going to do anything with you or through you, He's going to place you first. And so we see in the book of Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, Daniel was a young boy, and he was held captive. And I like what it says in verse number 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. Here, Daniel was held captive. The invaders came and took Daniel out as a little boy and took him back to this awful place. But I want to remind you that God said that He brought Daniel into favor. Now, a lot of times, God don't make sense of what He's doing in our lives. If we was to write the end of the story, I'm sure a lot of us would write a lot better story, seems like, of how our lives are playing out. But I will tell you this morning, God makes no mistakes. In this exalted position of where Daniel was exalted above the presidents of the land, first of all, he was placed. And then in Daniel 6 and verse 2, he was picked. That's good to be picked this morning. The Bible said, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now note, not only was he placed, but he was picked. You ought to thank God that He's allowed you to set under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to thank God that He's picked you to be in the family of God. You say, how do you know He picked me, preacher? Well, He simply said that He died for the sins of the world. I believe that God died for all. But honey, I'm glad one day God reached His hand and picked me out of a crowd that I was running with and set my feet on a solid rock. I got a lot of boys I was running with. They in hell this morning. But by God's goodness and His grace, He reached in and picked me out. And I thank God for that in this hour. You say, preach, you ought not get excited. You ought to hush. You ought to go down to them churches where they don't shout and everything's planned and grand and programmed, where she'll get up in a nice dress and preach to you. I'm telling you, you ought to thank God that He placed you in the family of God this morning. He was placed and He was picked. In verse 3, He was preferred. I like this. Then this Daniel lets me know it could be another side of Daniel. I wonder what the other side of you's like. He said, this Daniel. Amen. This Daniel was preferred. I wonder how you act when you ain't in church. Wonder when you act how you, when nobody's looking, I wonder what you are doing. Anybody sang in a choir about I love Jesus on Sunday, but I wonder you living like the devil on Monday. Somebody shout amen right there. This Daniel. I like the way he underlined that. The Holy Ghost illuminated this Daniel. It's a side of me I don't even like. turn your little halo on up this morning. You wished you hadn't stopped down here today. They decided you nobody likes. Amen. Shake that new head this morning. Just because your mama told you you was pretty when you was a baby, that don't mean nothing. And so this Daniel, he was preferred in verse 3. And then I like this, in verse 3 he was also not only preferred, but he was promoted. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now his exalted position, he was placed and he was picked. He was preferred and he was promoted. But in verse number 4, notice he was plotted. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Dan. How come? Because he is leading the pack. You better learn something when you get in leadership. People's going to throw rocks at you. And you know something? In this exalted position, God purposely put Daniel in the place at that hour. And Daniel was behaving himself in a way that he was a light to a lot of people. I wonder how we behave in ourselves to be a light to a lot of people. I wonder when we walk into our job, is somebody saying, oh no, there they come with all their belly aching and griping and complaining and their bad attitudes. Somebody say amen right there this morning. But my goodness, here when Daniel was put on the top, people got jealous. You know, I've noticed something about jealousy. Some of you need to swallow this morning with a good glass of the Holy Ghost. I've never been jealous of nobody behind me, only those ahead of me. And you better watch that green-eyed monster of jealousy. He'll raise his head up. Amen? Boy, if you're going to be in leadership, somebody's going to take shots at you. If you get a position that other folks at work ain't got, they're going to take shots at you. And we better put on some thick skin. If the devil can knock you out with one little blow, honey, you're gone. You're a goner. Well, nobody shook my hand today. Well, did you come down here to get preaching or did you come down here for somebody to shake your hand? Amen. Just because a woman checked you out at Walmart Friday on that Black Friday didn't shake your hand. I bet you go back down there next week. Bunch of crazy people at Walmart. And so, isn't it amazing in this exalted position where the Lord put him? You know something? Wherever we're operating this morning in our life, it's not by accident. God has placed me and you particularly in some places that we can be a bright light to a lot of dark places. And can I tell you, just a little light goes a long way this morning. Oh, my attitude is everything. And we see here to dare to be a Daniel in his exalted position. But number 2 in verse 3, notice Daniel's excellent spirit. Boy, I like this. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because, I tell you why he is preferred, because he had an excellent spirit in him and about him. Boy, it's amazing to me how a different spirit does things. I seen some of you come up the doorsteps this morning just, Lord God, you say, my Lord Jesus, what happened to that crowd since a week ago? We've missed 2 church services, and it's about killed us. Well, we get so worldly. We get so confused. We get to chasing such a whirlwind. This excellent spirit was in him. That's what I want to know more about, this excellent spirit. Now, the Bible said that, first of all, it was in him. Aren't you glad you're indwelled by the Spirit? If you're saved by the grace of God, then the Holy Ghost indwells you. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Boy, it's wonderful to have the Holy Ghost living in us. And so we see here that this indwelling of the Spirit, it was an excellent spirit. It was in it. Do you have an excellent spirit? Now, in Philippians 2 in verse number 12, Paul was writing and he said something that really stuck out. He says in Philippians 2 and verse number 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now this dare to be a Daniel, not only his exalted position, but now his excellent spirit. He was indwelt of the Spirit. But then secondly, notice not only the indwelling of that Spirit, but the influence of that Spirit. He put a wonderful air out around him. I love to be around people that have an excellent spirit. It's just amazing what a little smile would do. Matter of fact, some of you this morning, I'll let your face know that you got saved one day. I mean, it's pretty easy to smile. I mean, excellent spirit. What a blessing to be around people with an excellent spirit. Oh my, this Daniel, how we need to look at his life and see that he had an excellent spirit. We see the indwelling of the Spirit and the influence of the Spirit. But in verse 4, there's an indication of the Spirit. You see, when you get saved, there ought to be some indicators around you that something happened to you. It's not just joining a church and say, boy, I'm going to be baptized and join up and go and do this. Honey, when the Spirit of God moves in you, He'll change you by the grace of God. I guarantee you that. If God is a consuming fire, and if this consuming fire lives in us, there'll be some things burning up around us in our lives. Now watch what he said in verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, I wonder if they put a private investigator on us, what they would dig up on us. Daniel lived a lifestyle with this excellent spirit. They couldn't find nothing on him. Boy, in that sign, I wonder how hard we'd have to look to find something on us. I wonder if we had a tape recorder down in our living room, what all we'd hear been said this week. Boy, I wonder after on Sunday, if we had a tape recorder down at the round table at Cracker Barrel, what we'd hear. Wonder what we'd hear down yonder at the greasy spoon when the preacher got on your little toes and offended you, what you had to say that day. Oh, yeah, we need preaching this morning. But boy, isn't it amazing, this thing of this excellent spirit. Oh, we see them dwelling in the influence, but the indications, and they couldn't find nothing. Said he wasn't slipping around looking at dirty books. He wasn't telling dirty jokes. He was paying his debts. He wasn't telling lies. He wasn't running around on his wife or cheating on his husband. What's going on? He's living right and doing right. And so this excellent spirit, oh, Lord, help us to have excellent spirit. An old writer said something about a conscience I wrote down. I never heard it, but I sure do like it. We talk about our conscience. Daniel had a conscience that didn't bother him. Someone said a conscience is something that only a good man can enjoy. Can I get a witness? I need to read that again. Some of y'all in the back didn't get that. He said that a conscience is, someone said, it's just a conscience is something that only a good man can enjoy. Boy, I hate when I've done something wrong. That goes to bothering me. Boy, I hate to go to bed with a bad conscience and wake up with a bad conscience. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something about it for long. I can't stand a bad conscience. Matter of fact, some of you's mistreated your conscience so long, it's seared with a hot iron. It don't bother you to do things that you used to do. Matter of fact, you better not always go on your conscience. You better go on the Word of God. Because see, in this lifestyle, me and you do things our forefathers wouldn't dare have done. But it's still in this book they ought not be doing it. I've noticed something about our conscience. It gets used to things, don't it? You ever notice when you got around people and they got to cussing, it really bothered you, but the longer that you stayed around, it didn't bother you no more? You ever notice the first time that you took a drink of that liquor, it bothered you, but you kept a drinking, but it don't bother you no more? You ever talked about the first time that you looked at that dirty picture on the internet or in that book and it bothered you, but something come back and you kept going back? Now it don't bother you. Your conscience has got seared. You remember when preaching used to bother you about dying and going to hell, but it don't bother you no more? Your conscience has got seared. You remember when you used to couldn't do nothing, but now you can just do anything? You know what's wrong with you? Your conscience has got seared. I allow things on our TV in our home around my grandbaby, 18 months old, that my daddy would have kicked the TV out of the house on just a commercial. But now it's an accepted lifestyle. I'm still preaching this morning. I'm not on a membership drive at this church. I'm all about following the Holy Ghost and giving you some preaching. And trying to get you some help in your life to raise your young'uns in an environment where they can get saved one day. This ain't a theater. It ain't a movie house. This ain't an entertainment center. This is where we have preaching. And we got to have preaching in the Word of God. I can say I'm a pastor. I can tell about sheep. We missed two services and we dead under a doornail. We courted the world. We mad at each other. I mean, we went out there and we've courted the world. We ain't said nothing to Jesus about nothing. And we wonder why in the world we can't do it. Don't look down. We're not praying yet. We're preaching. Ain't it something how we can get obsessed with stuff? Oh, I got to hurry. I'm going to miss the best point of the sermon. Exalted position. Excellent spirit. But three, the exemplary praying, verse 10. Look what he says. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I can tell you why the man had a good spirit in him. He prayed a lot. I can tell you why he's promoted and could go places others couldn't go. He prayed a lot. I can tell you why people like to be around him, because he prayed a lot. I had a bad attitude the other day. Anybody ever have a bad attitude? Boy, we need a lot of preaching this morning. There's a bunch of liars in this place. I noticed my wife was getting on my nerves a little bit. She'd been home a few days. Amen. But I made a trip out to the altar and something... She got better. So it must not have been her. Well, what are you saying? Well, there was a decision of praying. He went. Did you know we've got a decision to pray? He went. Notice what he said there in that verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. We got an option. A decision of praying. He went. Let me ask you something. Our children and grandchildren know where we hunt, know where we fish, know where we play ball. Ladies, they know where you shop, but do they know where we pray? They know where we pray? See, he made a decision to pray. He went. And then there was a direction of praying. You know where he prayed to? He prayed toward Jerusalem. Where is that? That's toward Calvary. That'll help any life this morning. Notice he wasn't praying toward Washington. We don't need to be praying toward the White House. We need to be praying toward Calvary, where one hung on a cross that can change our country this morning. Change our life. Oh, my Lord. Direction toward Jerusalem. And then notice this distinction of praying. He is on his knees. What's that business, preacher? He's on his knees. The distinction of prayer. Like what one old author said, it's not really about what your knees are doing, it's what your heart and your spirit's doing. His spirit and his heart was kneeling in prayer, saying, "Dear God, we don't even deserve to be able to pray. Dear Lord, how we need to get humble again and realize that He's on the throne. And we're not the God, He's God." And oh my goodness, they humbled and they bowed their knees before Him. The distinction of praying. And then I like this, the devotion of praying. 3 times a day he prayed. Can I ask you something just sort of show you where we are? Did you pray this morning? Did you pray yesterday? What about Thursday, Thanksgiving? Did you pray Thursday? Did you pray today? I found out on this devotion of praying, the devil will sort of let you do anything in the world but pray. You know why? Because he knows that's where our power is. He knows that's where our progress is in praying. Oh, I want to urge you today to get you a place to pray. The devotion of praying 3 times. Matter of fact, in Luke 18, verse number 7, the Lord's teaching His disciples something, and He has something to say about an unjust judge. And He says this in Luke 18 and verse number 7. He said this, "Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night to Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth?" God wants us to pray, pray, pray. I like what the preacher said. Doesn't matter how long you pray, just don't go long without praying. Amen. Pray. Matter of fact, in this devotion of praying, could you imagine how our homes would be if we'd pray 1 time a day, much less 3 times a day? What would our church be if we just all prayed 1 time a day? What would our lives be? What would our homes be if we done this like Daniel and prayed that had an excellent spirit in him? And then, watch this, there's the duty of prayer. Look what he done in closing. And he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Have you got anything to thank him for? My goodness, the duty of prayer. Surely it's poor devotion, which is always asking and never thanking. Prayers with no thanksgiving are selfish things. They rob God. Oh, Lord, how we ought to thank Him for what He's done. You got anything to thank Him for this morning? You say, "Preacher, you don't understand. I haven't got a lot." Well, thank Him for what you do have. Thank Him for the things He's done this week that you don't even know what He's done. He deserves our praise. We ought to thank Him. You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time asking Him. What's wrong with just bowing, thanking Him? Thank you, Lord, for what You've done. Thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for putting me in a place. Thank You, Lord. You know, our duty of prayer, we ought to thank Him. Miss Sherry, if you'd come. Of course, you know the end of the story. You've heard it since you was a child in Sunday school. There's the deliverance of praying. Verse 20. Though King come down, he said, "Daniel, did you make it?" He said, "Yeah, I made it." You know something, how you going to make it? Just how Daniel done it. By praying. We never know, matter of fact, what kind of den's waiting on us tomorrow. You notice what Daniel done when he got in trouble? He went as he did aforetime. He is putting some prayers in the bank. Mom and Daddy, you better be putting some prayers in the bank for them young'uns coming up. Matter of fact, when trouble comes today, that I don't believe it's the prayer today really moves the hand of God. I believe it's what we've done yesterday and the day before. You see, a lot of you want to use God like a spare tire. You have a flat, pull Him out of the trunk. Get us out of this, God. And then here we go. Put Him back in the trunk. Everything's wonderful. We forget about God. We go on till the next blowout happens. And I'm just trying to encourage you this morning, before your car runs off the road, you better get to praying. And you better be thanking God for what He's done for us. Honey, let me tell you something. We've not seen nothing yet as a nation. All nations shall be turned into hell that forgets God. They forgot Him. Hell's coming. Write it down. It's coming. And you better be so spiritually stable and spiritually equipped and put together by this thing of prayer that it don't shake you out of your boots. I'm glad I've got a God that does deliver. Some of you have been praying, and asking God. Well, just keep a praying and asking God. Don't give up. Keep a prayer does change things. Prayer can make things happen. Lord, we need to be praying for each other. We're not each other's enemies. There's a real devil. You know what? He wants to bust you home. He wants to devour your kids. It's a real battle. And the sooner you realize that you're trying to engage and you're going in a war without any type of weapons, that's why you're so defeated. Daniel had an excellent spirit in him because he had a life so disciplined to pray. Are you praying? The leadership of our church, are we praying? How do we know what the Spirit of God wants in this place if we're not praying? How can you know what the Spirit of God wants for your home and your life if you're not talking to Him? Have you prayed today? Or we get so busy. I'm telling you, folks, prayer's the key to this thing. Old saying, you sit on signs. I believe it, too. A family prays together, stays together. You tell me how. You tell me this. How in the world can a husband and wife tell me how you could ever be separated if you found yourself daily in an altar of prayer praying with each other? Tell me how. Tell me how, as we as leaders, tell me how that we're to stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God if we're not praying. Sunday school class, how do you know what to teach if you're not praying? All the ministries in this church, don't let the devil hoodwink you about not praying. Matter of fact, I'm more convinced of this. I don't believe in ignorance. I think we ought to study. But I found this out about preaching. God will overlook my ignorance. But He won't overlook my neglect of praying. What you need this morning, an excellent spirit was in him. Boy, that's what I want. My good. You know what? Daniel was 80 or 90 years old. Brother Randall, he had enough to be bitter about. He was captive. Things didn't work out the way he wrote. But now, man, 80 or 90 years old, he's got an excellent spirit in him. I want to be one of them, Brother Wayne. Not always talking about what somebody's done. Poor old me. But oh, what a great God. What a wonderful Jesus. What you need in your life this morning? I mean, really, what do you need? Won't you come and ask God to help you and give you that excellent spirit? As my brother sings this morning.